good evening to the remnant that have tuned in tonight. This is Radio Ranch Richard, and I'm coming to you live from the Radio Ranch on this Thursday, the 13th. Thursday, April 13th, 2017. Here we are at the Radio Ranch. We welcome you here, coming to you live. We'll have the phone lines open up a little bit later, and the program, 7x70, that comes from Matthew 18, and it talks about forgiveness. And that is such an important topic for Christians today. It's not the way of the world, but it is the way that we are to be. We are called out. We are to come out of the way of the world. We read that in today's Bible reading plan. And we are to forgive. That doesn't mean we just let the world roll over us. No. That doesn't mean that we don't adhere to God's word or God's law. No. God's word is forgive. And that's what we are to do. Have some current events for you tonight I thought we'd talk about. A couple things just caught my eye today. And they were, well, the media has been talking about fake news lately. And I want to share with you some untruthful, well, the news, it's really happened. But the so-called, I hate to even use the term pastor, the so-called pastor, the term doesn't apply. It's a falsehood. But maybe we'll get to that. I think we will. But let's open up in prayer. And join me, won't you, as we pray to God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, Heavenly Father, we do come to you. And Lord Jesus, we say good evening. And thank you for this day that you give us. Forgive us of our sins, both known and unknown. Guide and direct us this day, and Lord, we praise you. We praise you for the clouds that you've sent. Lord, praise you for the green grass that's coming up here in the springtime. We praise you, Lord, for your beautiful weather that you give us, and for this beautiful creation, the mountains and the streams and the valleys, and that this land you give us to live in. This land is your land, O Lord, for sure, and thank you for it. Thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came of his own free will and gave up his life as a sacrifice for me and as a sacrifice for us. And let us always remember that, Lord, that we may have momentary light affliction. We may, and we do, have our trials and our troubles. We have our problems. We have it where things don't go our way. But, Lord, you bless us. And we know that your way is right. And what you do is right. And your word is truth. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the comfort that your word gives us. That you have not abandoned your people. That your people are alive and well and being blessed. And that, Lord, it is pleasing to you when your people come to you and obey you. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to read your word and to understand your word and to apply it in our lives and to share it with others, to tell others of the good news, of the truth of your word. We thank you for that. Heavenly Father, I ask you to send the Holy Spirit to be with us here tonight, to be with me here tonight and those that might be listening in, Lord. Give me the thoughts to think, the words to say that are pleasing to you, that are only truth, and that are edifying to your people. Help us to encourage one another to love and good deeds. We know that honors you, and that puts a smile on your face. And that's our desire, Lord. I thank you, and I welcome you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, we are here, April 13th, 2017. Hopefully you're reading your Bibles. I want to come back to this maybe a little bit later, but the Bible reading plan, we're in 2 Corinthians this part of the week, 6 through 8. Half of 6 is highlighted in my Bible. I hope it is in yours. It should be highlighted and underlined and marked and notes, and it's good stuff. It's a promise. He says in 2 Corinthians 6:1, 6:2, he says, God Almighty says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Hey, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And it is. So if we've ever read our Bible, if we've ever turned back to Him, today is the day. Today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. So I hope you're reading your Word. It is a comfort, and it is not a burden the more you do it. The more you do it, the easier it gets. We had a great Passover service back on April 2nd. It's been a couple weeks ago now, coming up on it. I hope you joined us. The Passover is to be an everlasting observation, you might say. We are to observe the Passover based on the solar calendar. We have that covered in our book, Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy. And we hope that you joined us. If you didn't, you know, yesterday's gone. And we've had several phone calls here at the ranch and here at the ministry about people calling and missed it, traveling, or just missed it, weren't aware. It is such an important event. It is such a time that God allows us. If you miss the original, you have a makeup date. Could you get a better professor? You missed the test, and he says, that's okay, you can take it 30 days later. You can get ready and take it again. Now, that's the only two times during the year, though. It really is. And so, if you didn't observe the Passover on April 2nd, in Numbers 9:11, that's the portion of the Bible called the Law, it allows the Passover to be kept in the second month. And that will be coming up on, I think it's Tuesday, but it's May 2nd. It's 30 days later. And you can read about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. That 2 Chronicles chapter 30 tells the story of keeping the Passover in the second month. And it's worth reading. It is. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And if you will read it, I'm not going to read it to you tonight. I've got some other stuff to cover tonight. But if you will read it, and you've got a couple of weeks before May 2nd. And so if you will read it, you'll see that it was a reinstitution. It was something that the leader saw that, hey, this is what we're supposed to be doing. It was revelated knowledge. It was revealed to them. Now, the year before this, it wasn't. But here in 2 Chronicles 30, it was. And when they saw that they needed to do it, they called to do it. And it was done not in pomp and circumstance and being proud and haughty. Oh, look what we found out. You got to do this. No. It was done by the humble and the sincere. You read about that in 2 Chronicles 30. Oh, there were some that laughed at it, some that scorned it, mocked it, said, what are you talking about? That's over there, different time. You don't know what you're talking about. There's nothing new under the sun, folks. As it was then, it is now. And so, you have time to prepare for it. You have time to prepare your heart to seek God and to remember what He did for His people. And we hope that you'll keep it. We hope that you'll keep it. And it's May 2nd. It's coming up. Couple weeks. It's not a Sabbath day. It's a work day. But it is a remembrance in the evening. Got a caller here. I've got a few more comments about this. But let's see if we can get this caller on and go from there. Good evening, caller. Welcome to the program. Hello. Good evening. Well, I guess not. That's okay. Passover, missed the first one, you got time to make up the second one. If you are to take communion on that day. Now, we understand today in the New Testament, in this new covenant that we are in, that Christ is our Passover. Okay? But the symbology of the Passover and then going through the Red Sea, there's communion, there's baptism, it applies today, even though we know Christ is our Passover. Now, if you are not baptized properly, if you haven't been water baptized, according to Acts 2:38, for the remission of your sins, but you want to this year, and you're planning on it as you're preparing your heart, and maybe you're coming to Branson, maybe you have something like that going on, go ahead and take communion. Observe the Passover, okay, and do that. It is, it tells us we're to do it forever. Let's try the phone line again. Good evening. Welcome to the program. Well, maybe not. We've been getting a lot of those automated calls, I'm sure everybody has, that when you pick up and then somebody's got a problem with their headset and can you hear me now and all that. So anyway, even in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 10, we see that reference to that baptism of going through the Red Sea. It was a foreshadowing. It was a pointing to now. It was a pointing to Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4, we read, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. They ate the Passover meal. They were in obedience. They escaped the death angel, the wrath of God that was poured out upon that land." You read about that in Exodus 12:12. "And they went out of Egypt unscathed. They went out of Egypt healthy. There was none frail or ill or sick among them." How can you go wrong? Honor God, partake of His communion, get right with God, partake of His health. It's what we are to do. It's what we are to do. So, Numbers 9, 10, and 11, you can read. 2 Chronicles 30, we talked about that, so I think we've covered it. We encourage you. If you have questions, you can contact us. We have some information on the website. The Solar Sanity book can be read there. But you can read it for yourself. You don't have to believe me. Go to Numbers 9. Go to 2 Chronicles 30 and read it. And see for yourselves. See if what I'm telling you lines up with the Word of God. And if it does, then you need to do it. Not because I told you, but because the Word of God tells you to do it. Why do we keep the Passover? Why do we instruct the remnant in keeping the Passover? And if they didn't, we encourage them to keep to do the makeup Passover? Because we believe the Word. We believe it from in the beginning to the end where it says amen. We believe it. It is truth. In our Bible reading today, it says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 6, "In genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God." His word is truth. His word is truth. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what we see. Doesn't matter what we hear. His word is truth. And we have to, that is Christianity, is we believe that. And that is why we encourage you to observe the Passover. It's not for us. It's for you. It's not for me and my house, my family. We observed the Passover. We encourage you to observe it as well. You have another opportunity. And it's because we believe the Bible. Now, there is a profane, I'm not going to call him pastor. He's a he looks like Esau Edom is who he looks like to me. There's a picture of it. I got this from Christian News. It's a christiannews.net. You can look it up. And you give me a call or email, I'll send it to you. Call me. Contact me in the office tomorrow. I'll send you the link. And so he is a profanity-speaking so-called preacher. He's not a preacher of our God. And he allows open homosexuals to serve in leadership positions. This is out in Bothell, Washington. And he says, I quote, he doesn't care what the Bible has to say. And I just bring this up to you. There was a couple quotes here I wanted to share with you from this news article, because here, this is a person, a supposed pastor, who is cursing from the pulpit, cursing in interviews, allows sin in the so-called church that he has. This East Lake Community Church identifies itself as, quote, an inclusive Christian community where faith is less about a story to be believed as it is a life to be lived. See, they want to live, and they want to do. We read about it in the Bible, back in Deuteronomy, in the Song of Moses. They did that which everybody did, I think it's in the Song of Moses, that which was right in their own eyes. We read it in several places. They did that which was right in their own eyes. If I think it's okay to call today Friday, I'll just call it Friday. If it's okay to do this, I'll just do this because I think it. I have a life to be lived. Well, fine. They do that in not even acknowledging the God that gives them life. And so it's blasphemy. It really is. It really is. He talked about having, a couple years ago, a move in the spirit, causing him to rethink how he looked at this homosexual issue. And I don't mean to be harping on this homosexual issue, but it's on the forefront. It is where the battle is right now. Now, there's other battles, but there's sure a battle right there. And the enemy calls out all the stops, just like this. And he says, the quote's here. Here's some lesbian that's in his church. It says one of the members of one of the worship team came to him. It came out as a lesbian and feared that she would consequently lose the right to serve. So he had to question how he had come across to others. Yet your right to serve. If you're going to live in sin, the Bible talks about elders and deacons. That certainly applies to worship leaders. If you're going to live in sin, you can't worship God. That is what comes between man and God. We read in the Bible, what can come between us and the love of Christ? Can death? No. Can trials and tribulations? No. Can persecutions? No, it shouldn't. Christ is always there with us. But we can't take one verse in the Bible and build and base everything on it, base Christianity on it. That is not Christianity. Christianity is the whole word. All the word. She feared she would lose the right to serve? What right does she have? Has she not read in 2 Corinthians 6? What harmony has Christ with Belial? What harmony has it? None. Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? This person is not a believer. The God that these people believe in is not the God of the Bible. It is not God Jehovah of the Bible. It is not God Emmanuel, God with us. It is not God the Father. It is not God the Son. It is not God the Holy Spirit. It is not. And they say it by their own words. And so I hope that the people see this and believe it. He says, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care if the Bible says gay people and then it's bleeped out, crude language. So you have to fill in the blank. The Bible is pro-slavery, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Yes, the Bible talks about slavery. This country had slaves, white slaves, and black slaves when it was founded. The Bible gives guidelines for that type of slavery. And if it's in the Bible, now there's examples in the Bible of what not to do. There's examples in the Bible of not of how not to be. We try to teach our children that, always have. Everybody and everything, it can be an example. Some things are good examples. When Joseph forgave his brothers after 30 years, or however many years it had been, when he forgave his brothers, that's a good example. When his brothers threw him in the pit, you know, that's a bad example. That's not how we want our children to be. That's not how we want to be. When King Saul went above and beyond his call because he thought too highly of himself. When he consulted the medium to call up the dead, that's a bad example. That happened in the Bible. If you don't believe it, I'll send you a Sharpie. You can mark it out, but it's there anyway. Bad examples. When King David, when David, before he became king, still honored Saul, who was dishonorable. When David still honored him, that's a good example. And so we see that the Bible is true. It's not always easy to understand. It's not always easy to apply today. But it's still true. He goes on. It doesn't have a very great view of women, meaning the Bible. The Bible doesn't have a very great view of women leading and teaching. No, it doesn't. It says the woman's not to teach men in the church. That's the way the church is. Now, that's not the way the world is, but that's the way the church is supposed to be. But that's not the way the world is, but that's the way the church is supposed to be. I have lots of things I disagree with about the Bible. That's a quote from this filthy, profane heathen. He goes on and says, we've decided the Bible fell from the sky and now we just use it, blah, blah, blah. We've decided. Well, good. Good for you. Doesn't change anything except his outlook. If you have your Bibles, turn over or write it down if you don't have it. I can't put it up on the screen like in a review of the news. But if you turn in your Bibles over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'll just start from the beginning. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Now, this is kind of a serious thing. This isn't, we want to go have a beer. This is, I solemnly charge you. This is the Apostle Paul charging, encouraging Timothy, saying, now, son, this you have to do. This you have to do. In the name of God and in the name of Christ Jesus, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. This community church in Bothell or wherever it is, Washington, fits 2 Timothy 4:3 to a T. That is exactly what they have done. They say they don't care what the Bible says. They have decided what they will do and what they won't do and how they will live their life. Just remember, folks, they can do that, but it's not Christianity. It's not Christianity. And we see that all over. And if it comes out in the name of Christianity, it is our duty, it is our solemn charge to call them out on that, to try to let you know that's not Christianity. It's not. It is falsehoods. It is It is the hireling. Turn over to John 10, and Jesus talks about it. Let's flip over there, John 10. I didn't cut these out separate and print them out, but here we are. We can flip over in our Bible, John 10. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. This is 10:10, of course. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. This guy is a hired hand. He's not concerned about the sheep. He doesn't put out truth. He is the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said he came to have life and life abundant. There is no abundant life in the homosexual field. There just is not. There just is not. It is a death style. It is not a lifestyle. It is a death style. It is of the thief, and it comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It is as simple as that. We have power and authority over it. We do. Luke 10:19, you can read it. Have another current event that caught my eye, and I may try to talk about this a little on Sunday morning, do a review of the news. The book, and now the movie that's out, and oh, it's got big time, big guys in it, big names that I even recognize, a couple of them anyway. But the movie is called The Shack, and it's supposed to be a faith-based movie. And the graphic artist that helped design the book has come forward and said, I'm sorry. He's repented. He's apologized. Let me give you it's out of his concern that it contains false doctrine. Now, if you've read it, it's a work of fiction. And we carry Christian fiction. Books that are fiction books, but are written based from a Christian viewpoint, a Christian perspective. We carry some. We have several. Piercing the Darkness and Out of the Darkness and a couple others that don't come to mind. I'm back in the broadcast room. I don't have them in here. They're in the other room. I've read them, and they are biblically sound. This book, The Shack, this is the author, or the graphic artist that helped with it. He says, over 10 years ago, I was captivated by the story and felt honored to be part of the graphic creation. I was so drawn into it, wanting to know the God it portrayed. See, the book portrays a God. The Shack story wonderfully painted this picture to me of an incredibly knowable and loving God, one full of forgiveness, but without being judgmental. Now, that should raise an eyebrow there. But see, this person didn't know the Bible. This person hadn't read the Bible. This person was wanting to know a God. And who doesn't want to know a God that is nothing but forgiveness? No matter what you do, you're forgiven. And just go do more of it. You'll just be forgiven more. Well, yay, right? But that's not the God of the Bible. The God this theology, and that's how it's described by the author of The Shack, is not the God of the Bible. This graphic artist that helped with it says he found himself at the edge of accepting universalist beliefs. I'm okay. You're okay. Everybody's okay. God is good. Everything is good. Everything will be fine. God loves you no matter what you do. He doesn't want you to change. He loves you just the way you are. It's just not the God of the Bible. That's not the God we read. That's not the Jesus we read of. It's a twisting. And for people that will read this stuff and not their Bible, It lies to him. He has a couple quotes here that he realized he comes to, and I like, he says, because God is love, he must judge sin. And that is true. We are to love. Jesus is love. God is a God of love. Now, he's also a jealous God. He's also a God of vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Isn't that why we're supposed to forgive? We're not supposed to return evil for evil. Why? Just to let it float off in the wind, that evil? Just to hope it goes away and never bothers us? Is that what you read on page 412 of your Bible? No. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And I rejoice in that. I can pray for those that speak ill against me. And the Bible says it's like heaping burning coals on their head. Believe me, I learned that from our pastor, and I do that. Oh, there's those that have spoke against me. I pray for them. I forgive them, and I pray for them. Let God deal with it. I don't stay up at night. I don't try to see how I can serve a nice cold dish of revenge to those that have come against me. I don't. I pray for them, and I bless them, because I trust in the Word of God. And He says, vengeance is mine. How He wants to do that vengeance is up to Him. I read about His vengeance all through the Bible, and I shudder. I shudder, and I fear for those that come against Him, that change His Word, and I fear for those that come against those people, those of us that are His. Because His name, one of His names, is jealous. And He is jealous for us as His children. When we return to Him and are obedient to Him, He is jealous for us. And He protects us. And He comforts us. And He pours out His vengeance on those that come against us. Hear the word of the Lord. I didn't write it, as our brother John said a couple Sundays ago. I'm just telling you what it says. This shack is trash. It goes on, and I wanted to share this with the remnant. This article goes on, and while some may argue that the book and the film are just an imaginary story, that statements of the author show that the work is simply a means to communicate a message. The author himself, William Paul Young, is quoted as saying, "The shack is theology. This work of fiction is theology, but it is a theology wrapped in a story." It is a theology. It is based on a God that just loves, loves, loves. No judgment. It's just not a Bible theology. And we're hoping that you see the difference. So when you have someone tell you about this book, or maybe you've read it, you can see the difference. Now, this book sold 20 million copies, been translated into 39 languages, got a movie out with big stars, big name stars. Still not biblical. It's still just as much. It is a false theology. It is not a biblical theology. It is a universalist. You're okay. I'm okay. We're okay. I didn't like when the book first came out, I saw some reviews on it and just what it was about. And I didn't like what it was about anyway. It portrays God the Father, portrayed by a black woman named Papa Eloisa, who later transforms into an elderly man. The Holy Spirit is a young Asian woman with the Hindu name Sarayu. And Jesus is a young, dark, swarthy Jewish carpenter. And together they help this person deal with his faltering faith and learn to forgive. See, that sounds good. But it's as wrong can be. It sounds good. Now, we are to forgive. If you want to know about forgiveness, you read Matthew 18. That'd give you a good story. Read back in the Old Testament, as we said earlier, the story of King Saul and David coming up. And here David, Saul had tried to kill him. David honored Saul. David forgave Saul. Read the story of Joseph. His brothers tried to kill him, sold him into slavery. He spent years in a prison. In a prison. He forgave his brothers. Read the story of the prodigal son, who takes what's his and leaves. Fathers, mothers, how does it feel when you have a child just leave? Just leave. How's that feel, mom, dad? Does that feel good? How do you think that father felt in the prodigal son story? How do you think he felt? The son just said, I want to go away from you folks, and left. And left. But the father loved the son as God loves us. The father wasn't happy with it. The father didn't condone it. The father put up that, you know, son, if you're going to do this, you ain't going to do it here. I imagine that conversation took place. The son knew that the father was godly and was going to lead a godly life. And the son went, and he left. And when he realized he was eating almost as good as the pigs, the Bible says he came to his senses, and he returned home. Maybe dad will hire me just as a hired hand. And as he's coming down the road, his father had been waiting. His father had been waiting and looking and praying. And when he saw his son coming down the road, he rejoiced and he ran after him. Hallelujah, my son's come home. That's forgiveness. Matthew 18 is forgiveness. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross, bloodied and bruised and beaten and spat upon and cursed and slapped. And said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. That's forgiveness. You learn how to forgive from the Bible. You learn how to forgive from the stories we have there. You learn how to forgive from the words of Jesus Christ, who is a man. And a Caucasian man at that. You can read in Josephus the description, the writings of the times, how they describe Jesus with his light eyes and his fair skin that was only brown because he had been in the sun all his life, and his light golden hair. I didn't make it up. You can just you can read it if you want, believe it if you want. It's not politically correct, but it is what it is. Couple of quotes from this false god of this book, The Shack, says, my words are alive and dynamic, full of life and possibility. Yours, meaning the Bible's, are dead, full of law and fear and judgment. That's why you won't find the word responsibility in the scriptures. Oh, it's all but trash. I mean, it is. It is all trash. It goes on, page 136, they say, both evil and darkness can only be understood in relation to light and good. They do not have any actual existence. Oh, yeah, they do. They do, because the Word says it. All the way back with Cain and Abel. Cain, sin's crouching at the door, son. If you do right, you'll be good. Well, don't give in. All the way back there. And what Cain did was evil. Oh, evil exists. Darkness exists. Just as light and good exists. So I want you to be aware, Remnant, that this kind of trash is out there masking itself as Christianity, masking itself as truth, as who God really is. God is the Father. The Bible says so. He loves us for sure. He loves us so much, but His law is truth. His law is law. He can't break it. He can't lie. That is why Jesus Christ the Son had to come and die on the cross. That's and of His own power gave up His life willingly as the sacrifice to fulfill the law, to bring us back into relationship with Him, with God the Father, through Jesus Christ the Son. There might be a few things that we don't have figured out yet, but there are some we do, and that's one of them. That is one of them. Well, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And, you know, we used to have a fax. I've got the fax line here. It's 5914. I think it rings in as well. But faxes have kind of gone the way of the 8-track. They just kind of have. But I think email took care of pretty much put the fax out. But the line is still here. So 307-745-5913, 5914, either one will work. Had some good news. Some good news. Target stock continues to tumble. Going down, down, down. Target, $53.24 a share, $81.57 a share last year. This was about the first week of April. Just a month ago, it was $63.57. Now it's dropped another $10. Oh, the slump is, some people say, unfavorable weather trends in the Northeast last spring and poor holiday sales. No, these people have taken a stand for sin. They've taken a stand for perverts with their transgender bathroom bill. Target's down. Target CEO Brian Cornell has acknowledged to employees that at least part of the company's woes are due to national backlash after it went public with its restroom policy, a move that Cornell says was self-inflicted. They didn't adequately assess the risk. No, you didn't. You thought maybe God was dead? Maybe His word was not truth anymore? Well, just take a stand. Stand, claim to be right there with the tares. To stand up straight and tall and proud and haughty. And they're the first ones that get cut down and bundled and burned. And we're seeing that. Hey, let's try a phone call. Good evening. Welcome to the program. Well, good evening. The line's on. Let's see. I just don't hear anybody. Nobody there. Well, have to try a different number. 307-745-5914. Maybe that'll get you through. I'm pushing the button. Don't know why it's not working. The light's on. Nobody's home. We've heard about that. But good news. Public stock is down again. Down again. Babylon, Babylon is fallen. The merchants of the earth, oh, they weep. They weep. Let them weep. Let them weep. I traveled this past week. If you called the office this past week, I'm trying to get everybody called back. Just about got through all the messages and called people back. But I had the opportunity to go down to a quick trip and to go to a wedding. And I got to marry my nephew and his bride and perform the ceremony. It was great. It was a quick trip to Florida. Didn't have time to put together a ministry get-together. Maybe next time we can do that. But it was great. We flew, had an uneventful flight. We didn't fly United. and I don't think I will again. I've flown them in the past. But their fiasco of dragging their customer that paid, a doctor that paid for a ticket. Yeah, not good. Folks, things are changing. I see that as a part of that, is how things are changing. I think it's a change for the good. I do. A lot going on in the world. These are just a couple of current events that caught my eye. Hoping to have our brother Tim on Saturday morning for Coffee with the Wranglers. He had some stuff he wanted to talk about with Assad and Syria. So hopefully we can have him on and talk about some of that stuff. Folks, we're trying to warn you. Return to me, he says. Return to me. Let's go back. We've got a couple minutes. It's 2 Corinthians 6 through 8. We read it earlier. At the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And this whole thing starts out saying, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Because now is the time. Now is the time. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. We're not. We come to you, as it says a little further down in verse 6, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. And it goes on in verse 16. God Almighty says, it's a quote back from, where is it here? I think, is it Leviticus? I'm not sure where the quote's from. But he says, I will dwell in them and walk with them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you. And you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. You want to be his son, you want to be his daughter, do what his word says. Believe, yes, and then do. Believe and then do. Good stuff. Good stuff. I like it. Well, that's about all I had for you tonight. Thanks for tuning in. We encourage you to come back Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central and 9 a.m. on the East Coast for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll have the phone lines open and we'll be glad to take your call then. And then, of course, join us for church Sunday morning. We're starting a little early. Going to have a scriptural review of the news Sunday morning at 8:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Mountain, or 10:30 Eastern. I probably goofed that all up. Sorry about that. And then we'll have a recorded message from our pastor, some timeless truths. And at 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 o'clock Central, and noon on the East Coast, we'll have a live message from John. It's what the world calls Easter. We see it as a resurrection time. So join us. We hope that you will. Well, for all of you that are his, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he look kindly upon you, and may you, his people, return to him. Return to him. Good night.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent. not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone.